Good morning.
Morning.
Very warm welcome to church this morning. The psalmist says, praise to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily carries us in his arms. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes salvation from the power of death.
The reading today is from Matthew 22, verse 15 to 22. Paying taxes to Caesar. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men, because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar, or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose portrait is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. God bless this reading from his holy word.
The heading for this is dealing with difficult people and difficult situations. And I want to look at this under three different headings. I'd like to look at the place that prayer has in that. I'd like us to look at how Jesus dealt with that particular situation. And I'd like to deal with the truth of what he said and how it should impact on us today. Now, the first thing we see Jesus doing here is he responds with great wisdom. But where does that wisdom come from? And I believe that if you look at the life of Jesus, what you see in the life of Jesus is there is a constant communion between him and God. Now that maybe sounds a wee bit odd. How is it that the Son of God needs to pray? Yet he is human like us, even although he's divine. And his humanity demands that he is the person who has the relationship with God, supreme beyond all others. And if you look at the life of Jesus, you will see that prayer is a constant in his life. And that there are times when he has special seasons of prayer, special moments of prayer, time when he gets away from everything simply to pray. And I believe in those moments he is fueling himself for those times and situations where he's going to need God more than other times. And so when Jesus is approached by these people who are out to trap him, people who are not asking a sincere question, but asking a difficult question, trying to bring him down, I believe that his first response would have been inwardly to pray, to seek God's help. Now, when I'm not talking about, he didn't go down on his knees in front of them. I'm talking about that inward sense where he goes into himself and says, Father, help me to deal with this difficult situation. Help me to deal with these difficult people. Prayer. The habit of prayer and the constancy of prayer is something that we must always see as essential to our understanding of life, our relationship to God, and indeed our relationship to other people. Not just crisis prayer. And that's what prayer is to far, far too many people, and indeed, sadly, to far too many Christian people as well, where it's in a crisis moment that prayer happens, rather than being something that simply just is and happens throughout our lives. And I don't think there's any of us do not need to know just how seriously prayer ought to be at the heart of who we are. Now, there's no doubt, too, in this situation, that the people who came to Jesus were trying to trap him. They were trying to find something in order to accuse him. What was the reason for that? Why were they behaving like that towards Jesus? Was it jealousy? Was it fear? Was it envy? Maybe it was all of these different things. Maybe it's the fact that they and the people who sent them quite simply just did not like Jesus at all. And what was there to like? Because after all, here was just a carpenter from Nazareth who was bringing crowds of people. Hundreds, thousands of people were coming to listen to them. And they were the educated elite. They were the people who were educated in the law of the land and the law of God. They were the people who were the prosperous ones. They were the people who were the political and religious leaders. Surely they were the ones that the people ought to recognize and the people ought to admire. And yet they didn't. And they see him as a threat to their power and position. Now, their behavior and their response to Jesus is not rational. But then conflict and jealousy and envy is seldom rational. But here we see it being exercised towards the Son of God. Now, their approach to Jesus would make your flesh crawl. They kind of slide in. And they're sliding in. They say to him, you know, you're such an important, good, wise person. Now, they didn't believe a word of what they were saying, did they? Not a word. And the question immediately arises, what do you think of them? Now, I'll come back to that in a minute. Let's deal with the situation itself and how Jesus resolves it. Let's see that despite the kind of people who stand in front of Jesus, despite the fact that they're completely insincere, despite the fact that they're trying to trap him, Jesus is in control of himself. And there's the first hint on how to deal with difficult situations and difficult people. To be completely in control of yourself. He does not refuse to debate with them. He will debate with them in a moment. He knows that they're not interested in him, but he still appears to take them seriously. Yet, he calls them for what they are. You hypocrites, he says to them. Now, there you see is an important element in dealing with difficult situations and difficult people. And that is that sometimes the truth has got to be spoken. And Jesus did not back down from that truth. There are people who came to Jesus whose lives were an absolute mess. He didn't tell them, your lives are an absolute mess. Look at you sinners and your lives are an absolute mess. They knew that. They didn't need to be told that. Mary Magdalene and others whose lives are a mess, they didn't need to be told that by Jesus. They were coming to him because of that. But here were people who were masking their true selves. And that's what the word hypocrite means. It's to wear a mask, to pretend to be something that you're not. And that's exactly what these people were doing. And Jesus, if you like, unmasks them. Why? For their own good. For their own good. He unmasks them. And dare I say this too, he does it because he cares about them as well. Now you might think that Jesus is being put on trial by these people. But what's being put on trial here is religion. Or rather, their religion is being what's put on trial. And what you see happening here is that their religion is being put up and be compared with Jesus. And what you see is Jesus has an uncomplicated love for people. Jesus shows pure grace. Jesus shows consistent mercy. Jesus' ministry is people-centered. People come first and not the religion of the day. But what you see on the other side of that is an angry, arrogant, hypocritical, self-centered religion. And what's happening here is that it's their religion, not Jesus, that's being put on trial. It's their religion, not Jesus, who's being exposed by this encounter. And what we see here is a very definite warning to us that to follow Jesus Christ is not to follow a religion, it's to follow a person. And it's for our life to be put into alignment with the life of this person. We have made religious structures that are man-made and not God intended very often. And where those structures conflict with the real integrity and person of Jesus Christ, they must go. And so we see that Jesus deals with difficult people and difficult situations by being authentic. By being true to himself, through prayer. And finally, he deals with it through leaving us with an important principle with which to live and govern our lives. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God, that which is God's. Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. Now, Caesar, of course, represented the Roman Empire, the government of the day. It could be quite an oppressive, yet it could also be quite an enlightened government. But the point for us as Christians living today is this. We live in two kingdoms at the one time. We live in the kingdom of this world. That's important. But we also live as citizens of the kingdom of God. And I think it's something of that Jesus was trying to address to us. And something of that we need to look at today. There is a point given to us here about being responsible citizens. Render to the government that which belongs to it. And what Jesus is saying, and what is right, I think, is it's important to see it as a privilege to support our country as it provides for the needs of all. Tax dodging is a sin, folks. It's completely immoral and it's completely wrong. Why is it completely immoral and completely wrong? Because we are supporting and we are given a mandate by Jesus to support our government, to render unto Caesar, to render to our government that which belongs to it. And especially when that government seeks to support and look after the sick and the disadvantaged. Especially that. And therefore, the mandate that is given here is that Christians are to be responsible citizens, the most responsible citizens you can find in a nation. Now, what's quite interesting, if you look at China, has been the way in which China, or the Chinese Communist Party, has altered its stance towards the Christian community in China. When the Christian community started to grow in China, they saw it as a threat. And therefore, what they did was, they regularly clamped in irons, and that was just as true, literally true, the main leaders of the Christian movement. If we can get rid of them, we can get rid of the Christian church. But then they saw that wasn't working. What was happening was the Christian church was growing and growing. And I remember our friend Matthew saying that there was several times that he was quite simply taken off the streets and put in prison. Put in prison for a few days just to remind him of who was in charge. And yet the Christian church grew and grew and grew. And it's grown immensely. I mean, at least, at the very, very least, 130 million Christians are in China. At the least. But it's probably much, much more than that. But the government of China has changed its mind. Why has it changed its mind? Because it's found that its most responsible citizens are Christians. And therefore, they're not a threat. They are, in fact, their most responsible citizens. And that's what the church should be. And that's what we should be in relation to our government. That doesn't mean to say that we cannot criticize. It doesn't mean to say that we should not ask and demand change. We are in a democracy where we got that right. And we should be involved in politics. Of course we should. Because politics is about people and caring for people. Of course we should be involved. But always as responsible citizens. But we are also responsible citizens of the kingdom of God. Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's. And it's this duality that sometimes bothers Christians. And it shouldn't, because there isn't that huge conflict that sometimes we think there is. For to render to God that which is God's is for us to bring to the world in which we live something of the special and unique nature of the Christian gospel. To render to God that which is God's is to speak out to the world about the living hope that the Christian gospel speaks of. It's to speak out to the world about the one who died for our sins and rose again to conquer death and is ascended to the highest place of authority in the universe and who will come back one day to judge the living and the dead. That's the message that we have as Christians. And we are in every way that we can to support that message. For us to fight to overcome evil and injustice. And for us to live a way that is pleasing to God. And that's sometimes where the conflict with the world that does exist. But we must always be true to Jesus and the teaching of Jesus and the example of Jesus. And to be true to Jesus is to be true to ourselves above all else. I don't know if many of you noticed in the newspapers this week how the lawyer who was responsible for taking on Mary Whitehouse many years ago, who's now 101 years old, is now saying she was right. I was wrong, and she was right. Can you remember how she was just a figure of fun? A figure who was despised by a society that wanted simply to run away and express itself sexually and in so many other ways. And now they're reflecting back on what this woman was saying and they're saying, you know, she was right. But what did she do? Irrespective of what anyone else said, she stood for what she believed. And that should always be who we are as Christians. Standing for what we believe and in whom we believe. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but to God that which is God's. And that's how to deal with difficult situations. And to be authentic when we're dealing with difficult people. But always, always, if we are to live that authentic life, it must be undergirded with prayer. There is the simple source of all that is good that comes into our lives. And I know, folks, sometimes that prayer is not easy. And I know sometimes when we set ourselves to prayer, our mind floods with so many distractions. And I know that sometimes we want to set aside time for prayer, and when we start to do it, we find it so difficult to sustain it. But the answer is always this. You've got to start somewhere, folks. And maybe start by taking little steps. And as you take little steps, you will take longer steps and you will take stronger steps and you will grow stronger in what you're doing. And that's the way to be. For without prayer, we will never sustain an authentic life of faith. Jesus was faced with a difficult question. He was faced with insincere people. And he remained absolutely authentic throughout. And that too must always be true of ourselves. Amen.